Let's go to Leviticus chapter number 25, Leviticus chapter number 25. We are celebrating the 48th anniversary. I'm just going to spend a few minutes, very few minutes, honestly, looking backwards. And then I want to draw our attention towards the next 2 years as we are preparing for our 50th anniversary. I'm going to name the message tonight, Preparing for the Jubilee, Preparing for the Jubilee. I certainly don't want to discount all that the Lord has done in the last 48 years here at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. We're going to talk a lot more about the future than we do the past. But boy, we would be remiss not to stop. And I think I did that well this morning and give God the glory for all that He's done in the last 48 years. I know God can look in my heart, and I mean this. I think as much as a sinful man can be, I think that in my heart there's a purity before God as far as the recognition of His goodness and His greatness and the fact that He is due the glory for everything that happened. Listen, I settled that a long time ago. You want God to use you to do miraculous things, then don't try to get part of the glory for it, okay? Anytime God blesses you and uses you, you just step out of the way and let God have all that glory. And He'll learn that He can trust you, that He can use you, and that you won't try to rob Him of what is rightfully His. And so I think we did that. But I want to talk a lot about what's coming. I want to teach a little bit tonight on the year of Jubilee in the Old Testament, and then talk about our future and the direction that we're going to go for the next 2 years. And then I'm going to lay out some goals, some specific goals over the next 2 years as we prepare for our 50th anniversary. And so if you have a weak heart, I hope you brought nitroglycerine pills because you might need them tonight. Leviticus chapter 25, and let's all stand for the reading of the Bible, verse number 1. Leviticus 25 and verse number 1. The Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and saying to them, when you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. The land shall keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years shalt thou sow thy field, and 6 years shalt thou prune thy vineyards and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. The Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee, and for thy servant, and for thy maid, and for thy hired servant, and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee, and for thy cattle, and for the beasts that are in thy land, shall all the increase thereof be meat. Interesting then, we're going to look at verse 8. We're going to begin to talk about that year of Jubilee. So think about that. So far, the commandment says, when you enter into the land, you're going to sow and you're going to tend your fields and your vineyards, and for 6 years you're going to reap the harvest, but every seventh year you're going to let the land rest. All right, now, with that in mind, look at verse 8. Now shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. And the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, and the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be a Jubilee unto thee, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. A Jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in of thine vine undressed, for it is the Jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase therefore thereof out of the field. In the year of this Jubilee ye shall return every man unto his possession. And if thou sell aught unto thy neighbor, or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years after the Jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbor, and according unto the number of years of the fruits he shall sell unto thee. According to the multitude of the years, thou shalt increase the price thereof, and according to the fewness of the years, thou shalt diminish the price of it. For according to the number of the years of the fruits doth he sell unto thee. You shall not therefore oppress one another, but thou shalt fear thy God, for I am the Lord your God. Wherefore you shall do my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and you shall dwell in the land in safety. The land shall yield her fruit, and you shall eat your fill and dwell therein in safety. And if you shall say, what shall we eat the seventh year? Behold, we shall not sow nor gather in our increase. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. And you shall sow the eighth year and eat yet of the old fruit until the ninth year, until her fruits come in, ye shall eat of the old store. And the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, for ye are strangers and sojourners with me. And all the land of your possessions, you shall grant a redemption for the land. Heavenly Father, thank you for this teaching. And Lord, as we take a look at the Jubilee year and as we make plans and look ahead, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd bless. Lord, we understand, dear God, and I want you to hear me say this before my people, that I understand, Lord, that all plans that we make for the future, we've been told that we should do so in reverence and in respect to the will of God. And so, Lord, we would say for everything that the preacher would say today, if the Lord will. And Lord, we just want to do what we can for you. But Lord, you also told us that if there is no vision, the people will perish. And so, Lord, help us to set goals that would be pleasing to you and bring you glory. And Lord, dear God, I pray that you'd allow us to see miraculous things over the course of the next 2 years as we build up to that 50th anniversary celebration week. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I think the scripture was pretty self-explanatory, but I want to explain a little bit about the Old Testament law and the Jubilee year. God said, 6 years you will sow the land, and on the seventh year you will let it rest. And so when they possessed the land, they would sow and they would work it, the land, and they would plant their fields and they would bring in their harvest. They'd do that on the first year and second year and third year all the way to the sixth year. The seventh year was a Sabbath year. And on that seventh year, they would let the land rest. And so whatever grew, just volunteer that year, they wouldn't even harvest that. Just let the land rest. And that allowed everyone that was associated with the farming industry, which would have been most of the nation, to have a year of respect unto the Lord, a year where less emphasis was put on working on temporal things and increasing things materialistically, and more of a year that is focused in on spiritual things and on recognizing the goodness of the Lord. Now, they do that for 7 years, 6 years work, and then the seventh year. Then we begin to talk about the Jubilee year. So they said, now, you're going to go through that cycle for seven times. And, of course, seven times seven is 49 years. Now, on that 49th year, it would be that Sabbath year. So you would have a year of rest for the land. But then he said, we're going to hit the 50th year. And God decided on that 50th year that that would be called a year of Jubilee. And so you may say, well, they planted on the sixth year, which would be the 48th year, and then they didn't plant on the 49th year, and now God wants them to take the 50th year and not plant. And then, of course, the next year, the 51st year, they're planting, but they have to wait till the harvest. How in the world are they going to make it? Did you hear that when they were discussing that and asking that question? And he said, I'm going to so bless that sixth year before the Jubilee that you will be able to eat of the stores of that blessing throughout your 49th year and your 50th year and until the crops come in on your 51st year. And so it was a time that God said, I need you to trust me. I need you to watch how I can do the unusual. I need you to, by the way, practice a bit of contentment. I need you to focus extra long, not just that 1 year, but an extra year on the goodness and grace of Almighty God. So there was a lot of things that happened besides just the resting of the land on the year of Jubilee. If you look back at verse number 10, let's review a little bit. And I won't take a long time on this. We'll go down through and teach it. Then I'll spend probably the last half of the message talking about specific plans and casting a vision between now and the 50th year anniversary. Number one, the Bible says that the Jubilee year was a year of proclaiming liberty. I like that. Verse number 10, and ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. And folks, listen, I think every year ought to be a year of proclaiming liberty through Jesus Christ. I mean, we're commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But I think on the Jubilee year, you know what? Maybe we ought to just spend a little extra time proclaiming the liberty that is available through receiving the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, sin binds, but you know what? Salvation breaks those binds, those ropes, those chains that sin has created in a person's life. There's nothing quite like getting saved. It's nothing quite like having the burden of sin lifted off. Listen, there's nothing quite like changing masters, okay? Hey, how's the devil been treating you? How's that been going? So why don't you get on the Lord's side? Why don't you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? A year of proclaiming liberty. And so we certainly would want our Jubilee year to be that. Number two, it was a year of focusing on the spiritual and not the temporal. Verse 11 through 12. A Jubilee shall be the 50th year, be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of the vine undressed. For it is the Jubilee, it shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. And again, this was a year where folks who normally would work and labor and do that extra time in the field in order to increase their materialistic possessions and their storehouses, fill their storehouses. But because they didn't have to do that year, and God told them not to do it that year, it certainly allowed everyone to spend some more time focused on the spiritual things, on their relationship with God, on their relationship with their family. And it just allowed an entire different dynamic of life for an entire year every 7 years. And now, as far as our Jubilee, 50th anniversary Jubilee, I think it would be great to take that year and just really dial back the temporal endeavors and really focus on our spiritual relationship with God. We're going to teach you and give you some more information on plans to do that, ways that you can do that, and helps to do that as we get closer to that Jubilee year. Number three, it was a year of reclaiming lost possessions. Leviticus 25, verse 13, in the year of this Jubilee, you shall return every man unto his possession. It's kind of interesting the way Israel did this. When they possessed the land, every family was given a possession. And that was going to be that family's forever and ever. It would belong to that family. Now, what they would do sometimes, if a family fell on hard times and maybe they were having difficulties and they needed to be able to raise some money, or you know, they were going through maybe an unusual situation where what they would do is take part of their property. And I guess it would be the same thing we'd do on a farm lease, because they really didn't sell it. They weren't even allowed to sell it. But they basically said, okay, let's say a guy has 100 acres and their family fell on hard time. Next door neighbor said, well, you know what, to help you out if you'd like to, I would be interested in purchasing the rights to work 50 acres of your 100 acres. And let's see, what year is it? This is the 25th year. And so I would do that and base the price on the remaining years until Jubilee hit again. And see, somebody might take their possession at the beginning of the 50 years and they'd have it all, because there was a reset button that was hit in people's possessions every 50 years where whatever they owned went back to them. But so they would negotiate leasing the property based on the number of years before Jubilee. Somebody hit the 40th year and went to his neighbor and said, hey, I'd like to work out a deal with you. You can work 50 acres of my property and you can keep the benefits of it. It'd be like it is yours until Jubilee. Well, he knows that he's going to have to price it according to the number of years before it goes back to the guy. So the price would be different if he was at the 10-year mark, then it would be at the 40-year mark, because Jubilee, you know what it did? Hit a reset button. And no matter what you've leased or what you've loaned or by the way, it even said, talked about men returning to their possessions. And sometimes, listen, folks, just different times. You can agree with it, not agree with it, but it was the practice of that day. If family was going through a really tough time, they might take one of their manservants and they might lend it to a neighbor. They might take one of their children, and don't get any ideas, parents. And they might rent them out to a different family to use as laborers. And you know what? But hey, when Jubilee came, reset button, everything went back to full possession. Everybody went back to their property, and then you know what? They'd start the process over again. And so, how does that apply to us? It's a year of reclaiming lost possessions. I think our Jubilee year, one of the things I want for that year to be is for us to make sure that if we've given away some things that we shouldn't have given away, if we've sold out in some areas we shouldn't have sold out, let's hit a reset button and let's get back everything that we should have, everything that is important, everything that God gave us. Let's reclaim it all. So the Jubilee year is a year of proclaiming liberty, focusing on the spiritual, not the temporal, a year of reclaiming lost possessions. It's a year of rededication to the word of the Lord. Look at verse number 18. Wherefore ye shall do my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. Ye shall dwell in the land, in safety. And so it's also an emphasis on just let's get back on this 50th year, and let's get back into the Bible, and let's get back and study the law of God. I'm talking about the nation of Israel, and let's make sure that we're following it, because the best way we can protect our country and the best way we can secure the protection of God and dwell in safety is to make sure that we're living by the words of God. So all of these things will be a part of our Jubilee year. And then number five, it was a year of fruitfulness and blessing. And Leviticus 25, verse 19, and the land shall yield her fruit, and ye shall eat your fill, and dwell therein safely, in safety. And if ye shall say, what shall we eat the seventh year? Behold, we shall not sow, nor gather in our increase. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. And that's, of course, talking about the 48th year, and then God supplying the 49th and the 50th and the 51st until. So God can also reach down during the time of Jubilee and just bless in a supernatural and extraordinary way. And we certainly would want God to do that. And so, yeah, we're 2 years away. But one of the reasons that I'm talking to you about, one of the reasons I told you that we'd have this discussion tonight, is that many of the things that we want to accomplish during the year, our Jubilee anniversary celebration year, we're going to need some time to work towards. And so I've laid out some goals. I'm going to give you a little bit of a vision. I'm going to tell you what I believe God's laid on my heart as pastor in the directing of our efforts between now and 2 years from now, Lord willing, if Jesus hasn't come back. And you know what? If he wants to interrupt it, we not see 50-year anniversary. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I'm all for it. Have you been watching what's happening up in Canada? Some of you say, preacher, goodness sakes alive. We don't even know where we'll be in 2 years from now. I mean, folks, if you think socialism is the answer and socialism is not going to affect religious liberty, you better peek north over the border when they're arresting preachers for preaching on the streets and putting them in handcuffs and leading them away. When they're going into church buildings and emptying the building out and padlocking the door, and the congregation said, come on, you can get on this week and watch a video where that happened in Canada. If you want to see, if you go back just a few weeks in Canada where they took possession of a church property and came in and built high fences around the complete circumference of the church property that's keeping people from getting to their church. You say, preacher, what will the world be like in America 2 years from now? I don't know. If you'd have asked me that 2 years ago, I sure wouldn't have told you all the nonsense that has gone on in the last 2 years. But wait a minute, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to just, quit? We're supposed to get into a fetal position? Come on, you know your preacher hasn't led that way. Are we supposed to not plan? Are we supposed to just, hey, let's do the minimum? No, you know what I said? I was talking to somebody before the service, and I said, I'm telling you, I know the things that we've gone through, and I have no idea what the future holds, but I think it's time for us to find the gas pedal in our independent local Baptist churches and mash down on that gas pedal and get this thing going and just step out by faith and trust the Lord. And so let me give you several things that I hope will be a blessing and help to you. I'm going to give you four things. Then I walked the property with Brother Gordon, and we discussed some things about our physical property. And I wanted to set some definite goals concerning what we want to accomplish between now and the 50th anniversary of our church. I'm just going to give you four things. One of the things we're going to do, you may have noticed that we have a church bell out there by the building. And I'll have to have Brother Klein and Brother Young tell the story. They can do it so much better than I can. But they were out and about visiting, and you know what? They noticed a bell in somebody's yard, and the two of them went back, or maybe Brother Klein was by himself visiting, and Brother Young went back with him, and they saw this church bell that's in this guy's yard. And that's a 30-inch church bell. It was the minimum amount of the size that I really wanted for our church, and I've just been praying about it. We'll tell you this, almost every bell that I found of that size that has all the mountings, all the hardware, everything it needs to go, the cheapest one's about $4,000, and I've seen them all the way up to $10,000. And so they went and talked to the man about the bell, and he said, my brother bought that years ago, and I ended up with it somehow and bought it off him, and I don't have any attachment to it. And he said, if you want it, you can have it for $500. $500. Now, we're going to invest a little money into it because we've got to get it up to snuff, and so we're going to have it redone, refurbished a little bit. But one of the things we want to do is get a church bell up, hung, and rung by our 50th anniversary. And we've got some ideas on this, and we'll be giving you more information about that. Number two, we want to re-side our main church building. We want to make it weatherproof. We want to make it so we never have to stain it again. We want to go to a nice metal finish. We want to match the existing build, the other new building, so that the two buildings come together. And the entire outside of the building will be maintenance free, which will be a huge, huge difference in upkeep. There's the building, if you walk around it, it needs attention. We're going to have to do a lot of repair, re-siding. So we want to get that done between now and our 50th anniversary. Also, we want to finish paving the parking lot between now and our 50th anniversary. I want to get that thing wrapped up, done, nice, sharp, and so we want to do that. Then also, the one other thing that we're wanting to get accomplished between now and that anniversary service is that we want to build a park shelter near the playground out here, and that'll give our church family a place to gather and a place to have get-togethers. It'll be out there where the kids can play, and you can keep an eye on the kids. On one end of the shelter, there will be a small kitchen area and bathrooms. And so once you're out there, we got all the activities out there. We'll have places to store things and cook and prepare. And I don't know about you, but I'd still rather be outside than inside when it's nice. I like being outside. And so it'll allow us to really put the finishing touches on that area. I know there's other little things that we'll do, but those are the four main things. And so obviously in the course of the next 2 years, those of you that have those skills and those abilities will be calling upon you to help us to get some of these projects done. Now, let me also talk to you about attendance goals between now and 2023 and the celebration of our 50th anniversary. Let me just kind of break it down real simple for you. In 2021, that's this year here, and of course it's all the way into the middle of May now, but I want us to average 225 in attendance for 2021. Now we're running a little below that right now, so we've got some things that we're going to tweak a little bit, and we're going to get get the attendance up. And so 2021, we want to average 225. All right. In 2022, for that year, I want the church to average 250 in attendance. Folks, listen to me. I'm tired of watching this thing slowly, 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 slowly diminish. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm not blaming anybody. You know what? There's one person here that's a pastor, and so the buck stops here. Well, guess what? The buck's about to stop here, okay? We're going to help you to know how to do this. We're going to equip you to be able to do it. And I'll tell you some specifics in just a minute, but we need to get the church growing again. We need people to start inviting people again. We need people to start bringing people again. We need people to get a burden for their family once again, a burden for their workplace, a burden for their neighborhood. We need to get more people out knocking doors, and so we're going to have a plan for that. By 2023, in our 50th anniversary year, for that entire year, I want our church to average 275 in attendance. So 225 this year, increased 25 by 2022, another 25 by 2023. If we average 275 by 2023 for that year, that'll be the third largest yearly average that the church has had in its 50-year history, and it wouldn't take much above that for it to be the largest. And so we're going to unveil a plan to do that, okay? I'm glad four of you are excited, amen? Listen, some of you got way too comfortable, all right? Let's get busy. Everybody's talking like it's the last times, and not too many people are acting like it's the last times, the last days. So we're going to come unleash a program and be able to do that, get you busy and get you scheduled, and we'll be able to help you. If you're willing to, God can use you to help in that. Put your seatbelt on. In 2023, in that year, I want to break the high attendance record of 665 at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Everybody take a breath right there, all right? You say, preacher, that's impossible. I know. I love it. I love that it's impossible, because I think God smiles when we say, Lord, let's do the impossible. So in 2023, we won't do that the week of our Jubilee anniversary celebration week, because we're going to have so many other things going on. What I'd like to do that is to set a date in the fall of 2023 and just decide that we're going to break the high attendance record here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You okay so far? All right. 50th anniversary celebration week. Let's talk about it. By the way, everything that I'm reading to you, I've got printed on paper here. I'll walk back with it when I dismiss, and I'll have it back there for the ushers to hand out, so you'll have all this information that I'm going over now that you can take home and begin to pray over. 50th anniversary celebration week. I want you to mark your calendars for 2023. Yeah, 2023. May 7th through 14th, that's Sunday to Sunday, will be our 50th anniversary celebration week. So we're going to take a Sunday to Sunday and just have services here each night, and a lot of events going on, and we'll unveil more of that later. We're going to put a big tent up for that week. What do you think about that? Let's have an old-fashioned tent meeting. We're going to call it the homecoming camp meeting all week long under the tent, and we're just going to have preaching and singing, and just it'll be a blast. It'll be fantastic. Dinner on the grounds each evening. All right, we're just going to have White Castle cater every single night, and so that'll be easy on everybody, and everybody will be in good shape by the end of the week. Dinner on the grounds, revival will come, all right? So, and then also for that week, we want to invite, if at all possible, bring our young people home who are out in full-time Christian service. We did that on the 45th anniversary, and that just was a blessing, and there was something special and sweet about that, and we just enjoyed ourselves. And I want to bring all our kids back home that are out in full-time service, and so we'll do that on that week also. And so that's our 50th anniversary celebration week. Now, I know it sounds crazy, but folks, if you don't give a date out 2 years in advance, then folks will plan something, okay? So you say, I don't even have a 2023 calendar yet. How can I mark it? Come on. Y'all use your phone, or a lot of you do. You just keep flipping until 23 appears, all right? And then you write it in, okay? If you need my help afterwards, that would be funny. If you need my help afterwards, I'm sure I can show you how not to do it. So, But get it on your calendar. Get it on your calendar. Don't come to me a month before we have this and say, you know, we planned something. Doggone it, I didn't realize it was 2 years advance notice. Okay, if you're not here, I'm going to pray that the fleas from 1,000 camels infest your armpits, all right? That's going to be a prayer that I pray for you, that God would bring that into your life, amen. All right, so just about once every 6 months I say that from the pulpit. I don't know why, but I just feel the need to. I revert back to a teenage boy, and then I'm right back. I'm good, okay? And so, preacher, what are some of the ministry goals for the next 2 years? I want you to pray about this, because not all of these things we'll do in the next few months. Some of these things will launch by the end of this year. Some of them will launch during 22. But we do have some very definite goals, ministry goals for the next 2 years. Let me give you seven ministry goals for the next 2 years. Number one, we want to launch the church plant in Jasper, Indiana. And so you be praying about that in the middle of everything else we're going to do. Isn't it exciting that we're also getting to plant a church during these 2 years as we build up to our Jubilee year? So that will be fantastic. Also, we're going to start in the next 2 years, we're going to start 7 new Sunday school classes. You say, preacher, when you talk about increasing an average 25 per year, folks, listen, I want you to really understand this. I don't even know if that's a real faith goal. You know, if every Sunday school class, if we start 7 new Sunday school classes, every Sunday school class literally just increases by 2 or 3. Do you realize we can increase by 25? And so, you know, we're going to start 7 new Sunday school classes. We're going to need teachers for those classes. If you're interested in teaching a Sunday school class, I'd like you to stop by and or mention it to me, if you would, please. And we are going to need some new Sunday school teachers. And so, you know, and I may have 15 people mention it to me, and obviously I can only use 7. So, you know, if you're going to get mad if you don't get it, then don't mention it to me, okay? And that way I don't have to upset you if I can't, okay? But hopefully you're more grown up than that. Anyway, number 3, ministry goals for the next 2 years. I want to double our bus ministry attendance average in the next 2 years. And again, that's very doable. It's very doable. Now, bus workers, I want you to understand something. Your pastor is going to work hard to re-energize and revive our bus ministry. I feel like it's languishing a bit. And so I'm not here to ball you out. I'm not here. You know what you need? You need your pastor's leadership. You need your pastor to do some training. You need your pastor to go with you. But folks, listen to me. If you're waiting for your pastor to build your bus route, I don't have time to do it, okay? I got too many. I'll help you to be all you can be, but you need to decide to get serious about this. You know what? Whether we bring in 10 kids on a bus or 70 kids on a bus, it costs the same amount of money every single Sunday to run them buses. So to be good stewards, we ought to do the best we can to maximize the opportunity that's given to us. But I promise you that we're going to help you with that. Matter of fact, I mentioned this the other day, and I have met with the staff and gone over this, but school's winding up, and we're going to have our school staff more available for summer, and I'm going to redirect the energies of our other staff members, and we're going to be hitting bus routes every single week this summer. Our staff, paid staff, will be on somebody's bus route out there knocking on doors, helping to dig out new riders. Reinforcements are coming, okay? But let me tell you, we need you to work also, okay? This drive-by visitation stuff's got to stop. This whole Saturday and you didn't do nothing but make phone calls. I mean, are you serious? How much of a burden do you really have? Come on, you used to. Where did it go? And so, you know what, let's find that again. And don't come to me and say, well, I just kind of lost my burden and maybe somebody else needs to. No, why don't you get that burden back, get excited. And by the way, these bus routes need help. And there's some of you that could be involved in the bus ministry. And I'm going to try to enlist more people into the bus ministry. Preacher, I just don't think I can ride on Sundays. Well, there's a lot of folks, some folks, not a lot, some folks in our church, that don't ride buses on Sunday, but they help with bus visitation on Saturday. There's a lot of different ways that we're going to be able to plug in extra help. And yes, by the way, yes, yes, you have to say no to you. Yes, you have to be less selfish with your weekends. Yes, you have to make an actual weekly commitment to something. Imagine asking that from God's people. where you serve, where you go, where you lock it in, where you do it. If you're going to only do it on the weeks it's convenient to do it, you'll never do anything for the Lord. You set your priorities, you put it on your calendar. Somebody else asks for something else for that time, you look at them and say, nope, already got something locked in, plan, can't do it. And you give the Lord first place in your life. And so we're going to launch our church plant in Jasper, start 7 new Sunday school classes probably over about the next 12 to 14 months. We want to double our bus ministry attendance. We want to relaunch. I'm excited about this. Number 4, we're going to relaunch our nursing home ministries. Man, that's been a grievance to my heart. If there's a group of people right now that desperately need Christians to walk in the door, gather them for a service, open the Word of God, sing the hymns to them, and encourage them, they need it right now. They need it right now. So again, yeah, if you were involved in nursing home before, or if you haven't been, but it's always been something in your heart that you'd like to be a part of, I'm going to tell you, some of you that have little kids, I'm telling you, the brightest moment of their month will be when your family walks in, you get your children up there and let them sing and go around and talk to those folks. And what an opportunity, what a blessing. Number 5, we're going to start a jail ministry in the next 2 years. And probably we'll try to get that done according to what we're able to do and what they allow us to do. Try to do that by the end of this year, start a jail ministry. So again, if you're interested in that, be sure and talk to me, and we want to get folks lined up for that. Now, number 6, we're going to launch a new convert discipleship ministry by the end of this summer. I've been working on this. I've been working on this for about 6 months. Let me just say, folks, and again, you know what? This is something the preacher should have done better, and I'm doing it better. But we want to enlist the help of those of you that would like to hands-on, one-on-one, disciple new converts. I'm working on the material. I've just about got it all written. Like I said, I've been putting this together for some time. And what we need is, I really believe this, I feel like too many folks are coming in, but then they're dropping through the cracks. And one of the things that really will help people to lock in once they get saved, once they start coming, is to get grounded in the basics of the faith, and we'll provide you the curriculum. We'll train you how to use the curriculum. It won't be a forever program. It'll probably be about a 10 to 12 week program. I'm finishing it up, but around 10 weeks that I will ask this person to commit to, and you would get with the person that's assigned to you. You could meet with them once a week at a restaurant or go to their home or whatever you wanted to have them in your home. And not only does that allow you, by the way, it's not going to take real long. You'll be giving them assignment every single week that they'll work on for till the next week. And you get together basically to review the lesson, to make sure that they found the right answers, to see if they have any questions. But more than just that, it develops a one-on-one personal relationship with a new convert, somebody that they feel comfortable with, someone that they build a relationship with. And you know what? Some of you would be fantastic at this, and I want you to pray about it. And again, if you're interested, let me know. What I probably ought to do, there's going to be so many people letting me know. I think what I'm going to do on these new ministries is let's put a form together where I can just leave it in the back. They can fill it out and check things. And that way, if I have 40 people tell me tonight, I'm just going to say, amen. If you talk to me anytime in the last year, fill out a form, and there you go. Launch a new convert discipleship ministry. And then number 7, we're going to upgrade and expand our social media outreach during the next 2 years. And so we've got some really neat ideas in that arena. We're going to and working on upgrading some things, but also using some other social media resources that will help Blessed Hope Baptist Church to be known and for folks to find us easier, and ways that we can minister to people long before they ever choose to walk in the door. And so I'll be a part of that, and some of our staff will be a part of that. And again, if you're interested in messing around with that, fill out the form. Don't let me know. Okay, so physical property, church bell hung and rung, Reeside Main Church building, finished paving our parking lot, building a park shelter near a playground, and then attendance. By the way, that means, let me just say that on the physical property, that means that now our Wednesday night offering time is really going to become more important. I'm going to say more about it. I'm going to work towards that more. I'm going to bring it up more, because it's easy to set these goals, folks, but we're going to have to pay for these things to be done. We can't start any of them yet because we've got to have the money to do them. Attendance goals, averaging 225 this year, 250 in 22, 275 in 2023, and then have a Sunday where we see if we can break our high attendance record. 50th anniversary celebration week. Mark your calendars, May 7th through 14th, 2023. 50th anniversary celebration week. Tent meeting, homecoming camp meeting. Enter on the grounds each evening. And then we'll get our young people back to be a part of that. Ministry goals, launch our church plant in Jasper. Start 7 new Sunday school classes. Double our bus ministry attendance. Relaunch our nursing home ministry. Start a jail ministry. Launch a new convert discipleship ministry, upgrade and expand social media outreach. Let's build up to this thing, and let's see what the Lord can do and will do. I talked about Canada. Preacher, how long do we have this space of grace? How long before we start facing that? I don't know. I have no idea. Like I said, I'd never been able to predict that we would have already faced some of the attacks against the church that we faced. All I know is this, whatever we have, we shouldn't be wasting it. And so let's do all we can for the Lord. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the mercy that you have shown to our nation and the blessings bestowed upon this church. And Lord, thank you, dear God, that you've used an imperfect people all these years. And Lord, but I thank a sincere people. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us as we go forward, Lord, as we implement these things. Preacher's going to have a lot of meetings. The preacher's going to have to recruit some help. The preacher's going to need lay men and lay ladies to step up and take positions and take responsibility and spearhead some things and do some things. Lord, I pray, dear God, Lord, that you'd ready all of our hearts so that we would have a great run between now and our 50th anniversary celebration. Lord, we've been talking about our enemy and spiritual warfare, and this preacher's been in this long enough to know that, Lord, it wasn't just the people that heard this tonight. And the devil's on high alert, and Lord, I pray, dear God, it seems like any time a church decides to take something to the next level, of course, it just comes with it. We shouldn't be surprised that the devil will launch attacks, but Lord, I pray in a really supernatural and powerful way that you would undergird this ministry with the protection of prayer. And Lord, there may be some of our elderly folks that says, preacher, I'm listening to this, and it's not that I can't plug in here or there, but boy, I wish I was 20 years younger. But Lord, they could do maybe the most important thing, and that's just pray around us prayer protection, Lord. But I think this could be such, Lord, a testimony to our community and an example to other churches that look to this church. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, that this will be an encouragement, not just to us and not just so that we can see, Lord, souls saved, but so that other churches will be encouraged to go forward. We pray these things in Jesus' name.